Anthropologist Margaret Mead once said, "Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has." For years, social entrepreneur and advocate for change Brandon Harvey has been traveling, telling stories and building communities on behalf of brands and nonprofits around the world, all through a single narrative. That narrative? Doing good. Being the voice for change, leaving a lasting impression on the people he meets and the places he visits. And one by one, people have started to follow along with Brandon's story. This is a story, he says, that needs to be told. One that everyone, every brand has the power to tell.
For years, I've gotten to travel all over the world getting to tell incredible stories for brands that are like doing socially conscious work and amazing, impactful nonprofits using photography and writing and social media. And that's gotten to translate into my own side of what I do on a much more personal level, sharing things on my own social media, sharing the experiences I'm having and, you know, the preconceptions I have going into places and how those things are challenged and how I'm growing and evolving. And I've gotten to build a really fun community who, you know, because I'm sharing these stories and they're connecting with them on a deeper level, they share this deeper value of focusing on the good in the world.
That's Brandon. We had the pleasure of sitting down with him to find out the secrets of impactful storytelling on social media. If you ask Brandon why he thinks it has worked so well for him over the years, building a following and working with amazing brands, this is what he'll say.
The first thing you'll notice if you follow me on Instagram for a while is that my captions are longer than the average caption. And in fact, sometimes I hit the character limit on Instagram captions, which a lot of people don't know that there is a character limit.
I didn't know there was.
Yeah,
I didn't know there was.
I've hit that on several occasions. But what I'm doing is I'm providing a lot of context, a lot of depth, diving into nuance. And in a lot of ways, that's what helped me grow to have more than 100,000 followers from the early days, was this focus on storytelling and diving deep instead of just kind of keeping things at a very surface level.
But going deep, giving context, and telling stories of good and making change isn't always easy. In fact, sometimes it can be quite the opposite.
I think that social media inherently leans towards cynicism. And it's not anybody's fault, and I don't think it's necessarily wrong, but cynicism is easy. Cynicism is the easiest default, to think that the world is messed up, everything sucks, and we can't do anything about it. But the truth is, if you spend a little bit more time, if you dive into a little bit more nuance, you can see that there's actually a lot of good being done underneath the surface. It's just not talked about as much. And so that's what I really love celebrating. Because it doesn't feel like the norm to focus on the good, I think it's even more important to do so. I think of specific examples of places in the Middle East where all the news that we see about it is the conflict and the bombs and the terrorism. But I can tell you specific names of specific people who are doing amazing, impactful work, like showing up on the ground, their own bodies, putting themselves in harm's way to provide food for families in need, or to provide aid or education to people who are just trying to live their lives like you and I, but just in a difficult situation. And it's so cool to see this, but nobody talks about it. And so what if I can get really like into things like that and celebrate that? And maybe that opens up the doors for people to join in and help support that.
What if? What if every one of us had the power to individually make the world a better place using social media? What if we could all tell stories of good? I'm Brian Peters, and this is The Science of Social Media, a podcast by Buffer. Buffer is an intuitive way to manage your social media with powerful scheduling and analytics. In a 2015 article about Brandon, Mashable wrote, "Brandon Harvey's uplifting message of hope and dignity is giving the internet a meaningful dose of medicine. And maybe, down the road, the world will look back on the stories Harvey told and count him among the first in a long line of digital activists." Armed with a camera and relentless optimism, Brandon has done projects for Pope Francis, Southwest Airlines, PetSmart, These Numbers Have Faces, and so many more. He has literally changed the lives of thousands of people. But I'm getting ahead of myself here. Let's take you back to the late 2000s and early 2010s when Brandon was just a young photographer, where it all started.
I would say that there was some serendipity and some accident in the very beginning. I remember way back when I first started on Instagram, I had just moved to Portland, Oregon. I had grown up in a small, conservative, tiny town in Washington State. And when I moved to Portland, it was a lot of the opposite of what I'd grown up with. And it was so fun getting to be in this new city, learning so much about the world and having counteracting experiences. And through the process, I was sharing a lot of photos. And the photos that I was sharing on Instagram of my new city, of my new experience, they were getting likes. You know, people were checking them out. They were seeing them. But I felt like they weren't connecting with people on as deep of a level as I wanted. And specifically, my photos of people. I was meeting all of these people that were so interesting, so fascinating. And when I would share those photos of these people that I admired and came to really appreciate their story, they were not getting a lot of likes. And likes aren't necessarily indicative of quality, but maybe they're a little bit indicative of attention. And so I started kind of reverse engineering and trying to figure out, why are people not connecting with my photos of people as much as some of the other stuff I'm putting out, or as much as I am? And as I started to kind of process it, I thought about the fact that every single day I walk down the street and I pass a million people that I don't care about. And then all of a sudden, a friend will ride his bike past or something, and all of a sudden I'll be excited. And it's not just because I know my friend, but it's because I know his story. I know where he came from. I know what his dreams and ambitions are. I know about his life. And ultimately, I know his story. And I thought, if that's what it takes for me to like be lit up by a person on the street, even though there's tons of people all around with equally valid and interesting stories, maybe I just need to give people the context. Maybe I need to let people in on these people's stories. So I started writing long-form captions that explained and broke down the stories of the people who I was meeting. And when you get to know somebody, when you hear their story, you can't help but be interested. Like, everybody's story is interesting if you're able to listen deeply enough. And so I wanted to be able to share on that level. And so that's when I started sharing longer captions on Instagram. And maybe, you know, you could argue that less people read them because they're longer, but the people that do read them are engaging with them on a deeper level. They're connecting on a much more deeper level.
And like so many great things, these stories started as a side project for Brandon, a way to express himself creatively. No pressure, you know, a sort of passion project.
So my background is in photography. So before this, I was running a photography business. During all this time, I was running a photography business. So I was just shooting a lot of portraits of people intentionally to continue to grow as a photographer. I just wanted to get better at shooting portraits, getting to know people, because I knew that would make me better at my job. I also knew that by sharing those things, people would be able to connect with my work. And I really wanted people to connect on a personal level, not just like, I like Brandon's work. I wanted them to be like, oh, I want to work with Brandon. And so that was some of my thought process. But really, as I created this project, it took on a life of its own, and it became a passion. It's not something I've really made money on at the time. It's not like I published a book or I did anything like that. I didn't even intentionally think about it. I just started doing it. And In fact, I added a hashtag. I used hashtag story portrait. And I invited other people to join in and share story portraits as well. And it was so fun to see people catch on to the idea and decide that they wanted to share deep, meaningful stories of the people that they were meeting. And I guess my hunch was correct, because I was actually interested in these people, these random strangers from across the country, across the world, that were being shared on Instagram under this hashtag. I was engrossed in reading all of these captions. It like tricked me, and I was the one that came up with it. So,
and like so many passion projects, there comes a point where you become conflicted. You question yourself, your motives. Why did you even start this in the first place?
And I felt like the work that I was getting was really cool. I had amazing clients, big name clients that I'd always dreamed of working with. And I was traveling all the time for work. I got to go to some really glamorous places. So I would have thought that that would have been what I felt really great about. But I kind of learned over this process of being curious, why am I not super fulfilled by this? That photography for me was only ever a tool. It's a fantastic tool. It's a great tool. It's a tool I use to this day. But it was just one piece of the puzzle for telling stories that matter. That's what I really care about, is telling stories that matter. And for the longest time, photography was such a fantastic way to do that. But now I'm at a place where I get to use photography as well as writing, as well as social media, as well as video, Snapchat, you know, all these ridiculous things to tell stories that matter. And it's so fun thinking of all of these things as tools instead of the actual thing that I'm passionate about.
It's amazing what can happen when something becomes crystal clear. Your mind sharpens. You know exactly what to do and how to do it. It's almost like the universe aligns and everything falls perfectly into place. The PetSmart project was one of those aha moments for Brandon.
I got this one shoot with PetSmart. They called me up and they told me about what the campaign was, and I was thrilled. I was so excited. For some reason, it just really resonated a lot more than the work that I was getting at the time. And I knew that this was something special. And so I'll just fast forward. I hop on a plane to Phoenix, Arizona. When I get off the plane in Phoenix, I hop straight into a cab, and the cab takes me directly to the Phoenix Children's Hospital. And at the same time that I pull up at the Phoenix Children's Hospital, a bus full of puppies and kittens pulls up. And they make an announcement over the loudspeakers at the Children's Hospital, and they say, "Hey, anybody that wants to, come on downstairs. We've got puppies and we've got kittens. Come and play with them." And it was such a beautiful moment seeing these kids and their brothers and sisters and their parents come down the elevators, you know, roll out in their wheelchairs or with their crutches or whatever was going on in their beds, and see their faces light up when they saw puppies and kittens. And my job was not just to photograph what happened, but to document the whole story of what went on here. So I spent the entire day getting to know these kids and their families, interviewing them, having conversations, laughing, crying, talking about what this meant for these kids. We talked about difficult things, like why they were even in this hospital in the first place. We talked about hopeful things. We talked about, you know, how a dog that they met reminded them of their puppy that they had to, you know, leave at home when they came to the hospital, and how they're excited to go back and play with their puppy again soon. It was a really powerful experience. And that's when I realized that this was something that lit me up. I felt like I was good at it. I felt passionate about it. And I decided to start leaning more into doing work like this because I liked the photography. The photography was really fun, getting to photograph these kids playing with puppies and kittens on the ground. Like it's a magical experience. But way more than that, I loved getting to have these conversations. I loved getting to communicate what a beautiful experience it was to be there, to be a part of this, and to get to find a way to do that. I specifically did it through social media. We told the story on my account, on the PetSmart account. We put this out all over the internet, and it was my words that got to communicate it. And that was such a fantastic experience.
As you can imagine, a social campaign like that changed the lives of so many people, especially Brandon's. And it was during that time that he started to realize the power of telling stories of good, cheering people up, and bringing sunshine to otherwise challenging situations. And that was when his business also changed for the better.
I think that my entire life I've always been an optimist. I've always been hopeful. I think I've always been able to see the bright side in things. And sometimes that's to a fault. And oftentimes I think that it's a strength. It's an ability to see the good when others maybe have a hard time picking up on it. And so it felt like a natural evolution for me. But that was really the time when I decided I'm going to lean in to this strength and use it to help organizations who are doing impactful work, help brands who are leveraging their power as a business to communicate the social good efforts that they're making to make the world a better place. I want to do this to help world changers get their message out and help communicate how other people can join them in changing the world. And so that's when I started helping consult for and do influencer marketing campaigns for brands and nonprofits who are making a huge impact in the world. And sometimes those are big mainstream brands like Square or Southwest Airlines, or other times they're nonprofits like Red or Charity Water or UNICEF. I get to kind of cover the whole spectrum, but it was such a fun, it's been such a fun process figuring out how to use my strengths as a writer, a photographer, somebody who knows his way around social media, bring all of this together to tell stories that matter.
Okay, so let's fast forward a few years. Remember that Mashable article on Brandon that I mentioned earlier in the show? Well, it's now May 2015, and Mashable had just written that exact article. Out of the blue, an organization on behalf of the Vatican reaches out to Brandon. Here's how he remembers it.
Oh my gosh. So I get this phone call from this organization. Actually, I get this email first from somebody who says, "Hey, I'm working with the Vatican. Are you interested in working together?" And I'm not Catholic at all, but I'm a huge fan of Pope Francis. I think he personifies so much of the stuff that's good in the world. And when basically the Pope calls, you say, you answer. Like you say, "Okay, I will do this." And so I hop on the phone, and they tell me that they're doing this campaign called Good is Winning. And it's this celebration of all of the good that's happening in the world and the people who pursue hope and justice and love despite the brokenness in the world. And they were kicking it off in the midst of the Pope's visit to the United States. And they said, "Do you want to come out, photograph the Pope, document the lives of people who are gathering together in the name of hope and joy and love, and share the story online through photos and stories and social media?" And I said, "Yeah, absolutely. Like you just don't say no to that." And so I got to come out and have this incredible experience following the Pope through DC and New York and Philadelphia, documenting the craziness that comes with the Pope visiting America and having conversations with people who have such a variety of beliefs and backgrounds, and telling their stories. And man, it's one of my favorite campaigns I've ever gotten to do and be a part of, just because there was so much heart to it. I think that specifically, and again, I'm not Catholic, but specifically, this Pope does a really good job of bringing these ideas of social justice and love and hope out in people. And it's a really bizarre, crazy experience, but I loved getting to document that and be a part of it.
At this point, I have to ask Brandon. I mean, he's doing a story on the Pope. The Pope! I asked him how he approaches something of that epic proportion. How does he go about telling that story? Where does he begin? What does he do?
I would say the first step to approaching this is don't plan on a lot of sleep. Like I would get back to my, you know, tiny hotel rooms or the, you know, apartments I was crashing in on this campaign, and I would be shooting and following the Pope all day long, and I'd get back and I'm like, "Cool, now I edit all of this. Now I put all of this out in the world." So I didn't get much sleep during this whole process, but I was really intentional about trying to put everything out in real time because it was such a big moment. If you looked at the TV at any time on cable news, you saw footage of what was going on in New York, DC, and Philadelphia. So I was working hard to get content out as quick as possible. Some of that meant sending photos from my phone or sending photos from my DSLR to my phone, editing them there, putting them out. Some of it was live time, real action. Is that a phrase? Live time, real action. I'll take it. Live time, real action, Snapchatting or Instagramming. And then I would say at the core of everything that I did in this campaign, I just tried to bring my own experience to it. because the whole process is way too big for me to cover the entire experience. I cannot document everything that was happening in those three cities with millions and millions of people. All I can do is document where I'm coming from. So I shared a lot of my story. I shared about the fact that I'm not Catholic, but I really connect on this level or that level. I shared the stories of the people I met and what specifically inspired me about them. I shared what it felt like to be surrounded by a million people or to be on a rooftop, the only one on a rooftop except for like snipers over like a million people. Like it's the experiences I had were unreal. And so rather than trying to document other people's experiences or capture the entire thing, I tried to really zoom in on what I was experiencing and what my perspective was. And I think that people connected on a deeper level because of it.
Zooming in? Brilliant. I wondered if that was the key to a good story.
I would say that my core choice every single time I tell a story is to zoom in instead of zoom out. I think of big global issues like the famine happening in Somalia right now. And when I look at the millions of people being impacted, that is overwhelming. That's terrifying. But if I zoom in on one person, on one child or one woman, and I can think of them as my mother or my little brother or, you know, something like that, all of a sudden I have the capacity for empathy. I have the capacity to at least to a little bit of a greater degree to connect with that person. But when you zoom out, it's just all numbers. And so I'd say I always aim to zoom in instead of zoom out.
One thing I kept wondering about during my chat with Brendan was, when you're taking on such big, impactful projects, can it feel like you're not making a difference, or that the results are off in some distant future somewhere? How does he keep going? What motivates him to continue to strive for change in the world?
I think that a lot of people in the similar space to what I do, they measure success with pure metrics. And while I think that's valuable and valid, and if you're working with a client, that may be what they want, I think that there's a lot of value in measuring long-term success. And the truth is that a lot of those things are going to be qualitative, not quantitative. But that's what I tend to focus on. So I think about the emails that I've gotten over the last few years of people saying, oh man, I remember I saw your Instagram about Rwanda years ago, and it had a huge impact on me, and it made me start doing some research, and then I started thinking about this, and then I started thinking about that, and then I decided to volunteer my time to support a local refugee agency in my community for refugees from Africa. I'm like, wow, that's so cool. I didn't post anything at all about that on Instagram. You know, like what I posted about was so different. But for people, it got their minds working. It got them moving. So there's the impact level where I'm like, oh, that's amazing. There's also the people who immediately after seeing my Instagram, they would, you know, maybe not go donate to these numbers, but they would follow them and they'd follow along with them for a while. And then after they saw the story of these numbers again and again and again, they would decide that they wanted to be a part of the story. They wanted to play a role. And so they would donate or they would find a way to get involved. And I think that that's a really, really cool thing that it played out over the long term. Because if I were to just measure, oh, here's how many people donated on week one or you know, month one, which, you know, people did. But if I were to just measure that, I would have missed out on all of these other ways that impact is being made. And those things are equally valuable.
So that only leaves one question. Can a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens really change the world?
One of my favorite things is seeing the ways that people can have an impact in a way that is unique only to them. So I think about an email I got the other day from an organization saying, Brandon, we would love for you to come volunteer with us and help build a house in another country. And I laughed at the email out loud because they have never seen my carpentry. I am a terrible builder. I hit my thumb 9 times out of 10 that I'm hammering things. Like, I'm just not fantastic at manual labor in general. And honestly, I think that would be a waste of my time. It would certainly be a waste of this organization's time. And I think it'd be a waste of resources. But I have a friend who's an engineer, and he is making such an impact in communities around him by donating his time to help build weather-resistant buildings and help build homes that stand up when there's natural disasters, things like that. Like, that is so exciting. And he's using his unique gifts and talents and abilities to make a difference in a way that's unique to him that I cannot do. I think the same can be done with social media. What are your strengths? What are the things that you do really well at? What does your unique platform give you the ability to do? Lean into that in a way that only you can do. Don't try to follow somebody else's footsteps, or at least, you know, follow in their footsteps for a little while, but don't be afraid to diverge and take your own path once you've learned a little bit. But do something that's unique to you. Do something that can have an impact that only you can have, because that's how the world is going to change.
A special thanks to Brandon for sharing his incredible story with us this week, and for sticking with me as we try a brand new format for our show. You can check out more of Brandon Harvey's work at brandonharvey.com, follow along with his journey on Instagram at brandonharvey, and relive all of the fun quotes and moments from this show at buffer.com/podcast. I also wanted to give a huge shout out to you, our listeners. Thanks for celebrating episode number 40 with us. Please stop by on social media, say hello, and let us know what you think using the hashtag Buffer Podcast. We're at Buffer pretty much everywhere on social media. Or you can reach out to me, Brian Peters, directly on Twitter at Brian_G_Peters. Until next week, here's to doing our small part in changing the world.